Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. About 3 weeks ago now, we had a very wet, heavy snowstorm. And the morning after that storm, my husband Alex and I went for a walk in the woods. The scene was magical, truly a winter wonderland. The woods were like this snow and ice palace, each branch, each pine needle and cone perfectly and intricately frosted like lace. At the same time, the snow was so heavy that it had caused many trees to be weighed down so that they were bent over our path, their top branches actually touching the ground, their trunks and branches forming these archways that we had to navigate so carefully, either by going underneath the branches or by stepping over them. As much as I was taken with the beauty of that walk, as graceful and flexible and strong as the trees appeared, I was also concerned for them. Would these trees pop back up again after having to bend and carry all of that weight? Those trees came to my mind this week as I sat with today's gospel passage, especially that well-known part where Jesus says, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Jesus' words felt, they feel heavy. Heavy like that snow and ice the trees were bearing. I thought about those trees bearing the weight of that snow, bending under the weight like someone carrying a cross. Maybe Jesus' words felt and feel particularly heavy because this year has been particularly heavy. So burdensome, filled with so much loss, so much grief, so much weight. We may feel we have lost so much, been denied so much this year, that it becomes difficult to listen to Jesus in this passage. It might feel easier when we hear words about taking up our crosses and denying ourselves to simply tune Jesus out, to skip over that part, or to ask him, "Haven't we been through enough already, Jesus? Can't you see the weight that we are carrying?" In these moments of heaviness, I remind myself that this is the same Jesus who also tells us in the Gospel of Matthew that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Those words remind us, that while the world may give us heavy crosses, Jesus does not. That's important. Something else that's important to note from today's reading from Mark: Jesus does not invite us to take up his cross. Jesus invites us to take up our own cross. So we might ask ourselves this Lent, what is my cross? Because we have to identify our crosses before we can take them up. What is Jesus inviting us to take up in order to follow him? It can feel freeing to name our crosses. Trauma, abuse, shame, bullying, isolation, disordered relationships with people, and also with things like alcohol or drugs or food or work or money or social media or disordered relationships with our own bodies. Prejudice and discrimination, poverty, long-term illness, chronic pain, imprisonment, grief, any kind of loss. These are all examples of crosses that we might live with, that we might carry. These burdens, what we might name as our individual or communal crosses, are things that happen to us, things that the world gives to us. Because the vast majority of the time, we do not choose our crosses. Even as human, communal, and individual sins are intertwined with our suffering, we do not choose the things that cause us suffering in our own lives. We do not get to choose the things that bring death to us. Our crosses happen to us. Following Jesus, though, does not happen to us. In our reading this morning, Jesus tells us that following him is an active choice, a choice that brings not death, but life. Let's listen again to Jesus' words, paying attention to the verbs. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Want, deny, take up, follow. These are active verbs, not passive ones. We may not be able to choose our crosses, but we do choose to follow Jesus. Jesus's explanation, or maybe better, his invitation here, is not passive. Jesus says that following him is first and foremost a want, an active desire that must be present if any want to become my followers. This desire, this want, then becomes a choice, and then that choice becomes action. The action of denial of worldly self-preservation and power in favor of the greater good of God's kingdom for all. And the action of taking up our cross, taking up the thing that causes us suffering, taking up the things that would harm and kill us, and carrying them as we follow Jesus. This is a powerful teaching that Jesus gives us here. Maybe it would feel easier if Jesus had said, "Let them leave their cross and follow me." But he doesn't. Instead, Jesus acknowledges quite openly, as our reading tells us, that suffering and death are a part of life in this world. They are real. It is remarkable that in Jesus we have a Savior who suffered and died, who knows and understands what suffering and death are. He acknowledges that we all have crosses, and in inviting us to take them up, he is teaching that the act of carrying our crosses is an important part of following him. Although we do not get to choose what our crosses are, we can choose to actively take them up. What might this look like? Just as we all have different crosses, this act of taking up our cross might look differently for each of us. Some of us may feel called to be real and vulnerable and radically honest about our crosses, to speak openly, as Jesus does to his disciples, about the realities of suffering and death in our lives and in the lives of others. and to say no to those who have hurt and would hurt us and others. Because to be clear, taking up our cross does not mean that we should stay and suffer hurtful situations. In those cases, taking up our cross may mean that we follow Jesus into new life by working to leave a situation or a relationship that is harmful or unsafe. Some of us may feel called to take up our crosses in very public ways, through protest, through speaking out against the many injustices that cause suffering and death in our world. And many, if not most of us, will take up our crosses in quieter ways, remembering the experience of our own suffering as we accompany and interact with others, as we serve with or sit with or listen to our fellow human beings, all of whom are also suffering and carrying their own cross. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. These actions that Jesus invites us into, wanting to follow, denying selfish ways, taking up our cross and following him. Jesus teaches that these actions lead to a way of being in the world that is life-giving, that is life-saving for ourselves and others. As Jesus also says in today's gospel, those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. I went back this week to that trail with the bent, snow-laden trees, and I'm happy to report that those trees are standing upright again. One thing I remembered from that snowy walk was that because the trees were bent over, I could see the buds that they had already set, buds that are normally too high up to see, buds that will become leaves and fruits and flowers. Even as the trees were bent over by carrying the heavy snow, those buds, those signs of new life, were there. After bearing their burden, those trees and the promise of those buds are now reaching once again toward the sky and the sun. Following Jesus may feel heavy at times, and in those moments of heaviness, we trust that like bowed down but still budding tree branches, we still and always carry the sign and the promise of new life. Jesus teaches us in today's gospel that it is not burdensome, but rather ultimately freeing to give up, to deny, to lose our selfish ways. That it is vulnerable and honest and powerful to acknowledge and take up our crosses, to take up the worldly things that burden us, that hurt us, and to move forward together as we carry them. Jesus teaches us that following him is a life-giving, life-saving path of abundant love and grace, a path that includes both the stark and painful branches of the cross and the joyful bloom of the resurrection. Amen.